Now let us move on into the 56th chapter. We find that the first 8 verses of this 56th chapter of Isaiah are simply a continuation of the thought and of the prophecy that has been existing for the last 2 or 3 chapters. As you remember, in the last part of chapter 52 and all of chapter 53, we have the great prophecy about the Messiah, about the fact that he would have to undergo many humiliations and sufferings. And then the subsequent chapters, chapter 54 and 55, have been showing the results of the coming of the Messiah. Of course, many of those things applied immediately to the release of Babylonian captivity, but the ultimate fulfillment of these prophecies really applies to the Christian age and the result of the coming of the Messiah. And so that thought is continued in the 56th chapter. And the thing about the 56th chapter is that it shows how broad and how all-encompassing this great invitation of salvation is. It includes people that the Jewish people did not feel should be in their nation or associated with their religion. So beginning with the first verse, "Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness is to be revealed." Now let us again remember that this original statement was given to the people in captivity, and when he talks about his righteousness to be revealed and his salvation is near, the initial fulfillment of this was their release from Babylonian captivity so they could go back to Jerusalem, reestablish their nation and their worship to God in their homeland. But the ultimate fulfillment of this is in the Christian age, and so the lesson to be derived for us today is how this would apply to us as Christians. So he begins by saying, "Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice." The idea of keeping justice, keeping judgment and doing justice, is to maintain the law, to maintain a sense of orderliness, a sense of rightness and duty, a sense of maintaining the great government of God, to keep judgment and do justice. That is, they will not get into a state of becoming lawless, disobedient, uncontrolled, or without any self-discipline. They will not get into a state in which they lose their sense of propriety or their sense of what's right and what's wrong. It's simply a matter of being able to maintain prudence and to maintain a sober mind and the ability to think seriously and control your actions in the sight of God. And the reason to do this, the reason to keep your judgment and to do justice, is for my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. That is, this release from captivity is at hand, it's near. And of course today the ultimate fulfillment of that is our salvation today, our forgiveness of sins and our becoming reconciled to God and our becoming free from the captivity of sin and the kingdom of Satan is near. It's near to come. It is available. It is something that we can have any day that we are still able to turn to and obey God. It's near to come. And my righteousness to be revealed, that is, to be manifested, to be made known. My true way of what's right and what's wrong is going to be made known. I'm going to let you know what I think, what I want, what my will is. Verse 2. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it. Now he pronounces here a blessing or a benefit. The man that doeth this, that is the man that keeps judgment and does justice. The man that is looking to and preparing for the salvation of the Lord and the righteousness that he's going to reveal. And this also would include the man that does the things that he is going to name now subsequently in the next few verses. The man that doeth it, and the Son of Man that layeth hold on it. The Son of Man here is, of course, another way of saying man. All men are sons of men. And it's just a repetition of the previous phrase. And to lay hold on it is to grasp it, to make it a part of your life and a part of your activity, a part of your being. And so this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to do these things. He wants us to lay hold on them. He wants us to get a grasp or a hold or a feel of and for his law and his way and his word. Then he gets more specific now as to what he's talking about. That keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it. Now, one of the most distinguishing things that the Jewish people had, the thing that distinguished them from other people, was this keeping of the Sabbath. And some Bible scholars have stated that had the Jewish people properly kept the Sabbath as they should have, that the Babylonian captivity might never have taken place, because this was the thing that really was meant to separate them from other peoples. God gave it to them as a nation, and whenever they did not keep this and did not respect it, then they lost their identity, really, in the eyes of God as really being those that were doing his will. So here he specifies, then, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. This was something that God really expected them to continue to do. Now today, we know that the law to keep the Sabbath does not apply to the Christian dispensation. And so this then could include any worship that God has prescribed in general. Whatever worship God has prescribed, whether it be the keeping of the Sabbath, whether it be the keeping of the communion service, whether it be the teaching as we're instructed to teach, whether it be praying, whether it be singing, any service that God has prescribed for us to do, he expects us to keep it. And even while looking for his salvation, then he expected his people to begin to keep this, the Sabbath, from polluting it, and keep with his hand from doing any evil. Now that's a general term that could apply to just about anybody or anything who's trying to serve God, to keep his hand from doing evil. This is your actions. You know, your actions speak a whole lot louder than your words, and your actions are a lot more indicative of what your beliefs are than what you say you believe. So it's what your hand is doing that really counts. And if you keep your hand from doing any evil, then you're going to be living a life that is a pure, holy, clean life, one that is in accordance with the principles of the great God.